the revolution will not be televised, but it will be broadcast.
What we got to say?
Yeah.
Fight the power.
Fight the power.
What we got to say?
The only one that
fights the power. Come on. What we got to say? Fight the power.
Yeah.
Welcome to New World Notes. This is Kenneth Doust. You could say that the Arab Spring came to parts of South America years ago. It came to the Middle East and North Africa this spring, of course. And, wonder of wonders, it hit the United States in September. For years, some of us have been asking, what would it take to get large numbers of Americans at least to protest against being robbed, stripped of legal rights, and kicked in the teeth? What would impel them to turn off Dancing with the Stars, get off the sofa, and take to the streets in protest? Hopefully nonviolent. I don't know what it did take, but take to the streets we have, or at least to the parks. Was it the ghost of Tunisia's Mohamed Bouazizi? Memories of Cairo's Tahrir Square? Were we shamed by the good example of the Greek people, and even, to an extent, and God help us all, the English? Who knows what the tipping point was for us? But we tipped. Occupy Wall Street started, grew, took off, and spread to include Occupy DC, Occupy Boston, Occupy scores of other cities, even closest to home, a small Occupy Hartford. I'm recording this in advance of broadcast. As I record this, the authorities in New York and elsewhere are doing everything they can to shut the protests down. They're getting scared. The protests are getting too big, too many. Workmen are joining in. People in suits are joining in. Regardless of city, it seems, the protesters share this with the original Wall Street occupiers. The chief public enemy is Wall Street, which is to say, finance capital. The institutions and people that now control all the levers of power. Not just the economy, but government, politics, the judiciary, and even, as we saw in New York and Boston, the police. Financiers epitomize the 1% of the people that are oppressing the lower 99%. Today, New World Notes offers some notes on the Occupy movement. Appropriately, we'll hear a range of different voices describing, explaining, and, truth be told, celebrating these protests. You want to hear the other side of the story? Well, help yourself to any publication, any broadcast by the corporate-controlled media. The New York Times will be glad to explain why the protesters are naive, narcissistic, lacking a charismatic leader, lacking a printed agenda, and silly, silly, silly. The voices we'll hear today know better. Later, we'll hear from Glenn Ford, Chris Hedges, and Attila the Stockbroker. Here first are David Rovix and Jim Hightower.
Because this is where the power has its seat. Because 99% of us are suffering at the mercy of the madmen on this street. Because all of us are victims of class warfare being waged on us by the 1%. Because these greedy banksters rob the country, leaving us without the means to pay the rent. Because the last time that we had a decent government was about 1932. Because we the people are supposed to run this country, but instead it's all run by and for the few. Because now we know the rich do not pay taxes, but when they need a hand, it's us who bail them out. Because we suspected we lived in a plutocracy, But suddenly or late there is no doubt, and so we're gonna stay right here. We're gonna stay right here. Because both my parents lost their savings, because I have never opened an account, because the interest on my credit card just doubled, and now I can't pay the minimum amount, because these budget cuts are just immoral, with our schools as overcrowded as they are, because there are no buses where I live, but I can't afford to drive a car, because so many of us don't have health insurance, the rest of us have it, but it sucks. Because the rich are flying in their private jets, while the rest of us are slogging through the muck. Because capitalism isn't working, this system has just failed to produce. Because the 1% is prospering, while the rest of us just suffer their abuse. And so we're gonna stay right here.
Paraphrase a Bob Dylan song, something's happening here and you don't know what it is, do you, Miss Belafonte? A New York Times writer, Jania Belafonte, is but one of many establishment reporters and pundits who've been covering the fledgling Occupy Wall Street movement, but completely missing the story. Instead of really digging in to what's happening here, they've resorted to fuddy-duddy mockery of an important populist protest that has sprouted right in Wall Street's front yard. In her article, Belafonte dismissed the young people's efforts as fractured and airy, calling it a carnival in an intellectual vacuum. Their cause is so diffuse and leaderless, she wrote, that its purpose is virtually impossible to decipher. Participation, she announced, is dwindling. Wow, so snide yet so wrong. While the establishment is befuddled by the plethora of issues and slogans within the protest and put off by its festive spirit, that's their problem. The 20 and 30-somethings who are driving this movement know what they're doing and are far more organized than those accustomed to conventional hierarchical protests seem able to comprehend. It's silly to say that the protesters' purpose is indecipherable. Hello, they're encamped next door to Wall Street. Isn't that a clue? They want what America's workaday majority wants. Stop the gross greed of financial and corporate elites and expel a political class that's so corrupted by the money of those wealthy elites that it has turned its back on the middle class and the poor. This is Jim Hightower saying, such movements don't begin with a neat set of solutions, but with roiling outrage focused on the plutocratic perpetrators of injustice. These young people are on target and on the move. Don't ridicule them. Join them. Go to OccupyWallStreet.org. That's OccupyWallST.org.
Because it has been demonstrated amply that the winners are the ones who stick around. Because this world should belong to everyone, not just the banksters who would smash it to the ground. Because we've noticed voting doesn't change things when the politicians are mostly millionaires. Because we're learning how to stand up like Tunisians, like they did in Tahrir Square, where a young man named Mohammed Bouazizi struck a match that lit up all the earth. And all around the world the spell was broken, and a movement for the future was in birth. Because there's only so much the rich can feed us before we figure out which side we're on. Because we've learned if we want our liberation, it will come only if we stay here till the rising of the dawn. So we're gonna stay right here.
Commentator Glenn Ford is an African-American, a leftist, and an intellectual. And he's impressed by many of the Occupy Wall Street protesters. Especially in the early days, this group was mostly young, mostly white, and mostly middle class. Still, Ford thought they had more political savvy than many experienced activists on the left. He wrote this for Black Agenda Report, October 10. It's titled, Wall Street as Public Enemy Number One. Some people talk about the need to politically educate the leaderless, mostly white young people who have made Zuccotti Park in Manhattan's financial district the center of the U.S. lefty world since September 17. Although there's a large portion of yippie-like mush in the Zuccotti mix, the core clearly comprises serious people, determined to end the rule of the 1%. The 99% versus 1% formula is quite powerful, directing the people's anger towards the class that conducts its oppressive business on Wall Street, finance capitalists. The Occupy Wall Street crew has identified the beast in its lair, which is a very big deal in the United States, a nation that is the most politically backward and confused in the industrial world. The Zuccotti Park campers are eons ahead of the false radicals and progressives who are in terror of the Tea Party and Republican presidential clown candidates, and who will soon return to the Obamite fold in their eternal search for lesser evils. Many of the old heads of the left only a few years ago put themselves at the service of Wall Street's preferred presidential candidate, Barack Obama. He became the more effective evil in dismantling the New Deal. So maybe these old lefties should keep their political education classes to themselves. In identifying finance capital as the common enemy, the supposedly apolitical park occupiers are in some ways more advanced politically than a lot of folks that call themselves scientific socialists. The latter have not come to grips with what it means when finance capital achieves absolute political hegemony, that is, achieves total control. The financiers are a class that produces nothing, that exists solely through rigging and armed coercion of markets and the destruction of all that cannot be monetized, that actively suppresses and makes war against human productive potential worldwide, and that is now turned like piranhas against the state structures they themselves helped build in Europe and North America. The political rule of finance capital is the end game. In the early stages of the Great Depression, banking baron Andrew Mellon urged President Herbert Hoover to, quote, liquidate labor, liquidate stocks, liquidate farmers, liquidate real estate, unquote, in order to solve the crisis. Mellon didn't get his wish because, even then, the finance capitalist class did not wield total hegemonic power in U.S. society. They do now. With all the other capitalist sectors totally subservient to Wall Street, including the media, Wall Street is financializing the state. It is seeking to convert many of the state's components into profit centers, and will discard the rest. Nothing is left standing within the capitalist sector to resist them. There is not even a Hoover, much less a Roosevelt, to articulate an alternative capitalist vision, a new compact, and accommodating reform. Finance capital rushes forward, creating conditions in which its own imminent destruction can be temporarily averted only by frenzied predation of the real economy and the state itself. Obama Democrats and the Republicans alike facilitate the pillaging, captives of the hegemon. Therefore, the righteous demonization of Wall Street, the headquarters of the class that is the primary threat to human existence, is a great way to begin a mass movement. 99% to 1% is encouraging odds and an accurate reflection of reality. The occupation of Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C., starting October 6, should showcase the national government as the domestic and international superpower servant of finance capital, and Barack Obama as servant in chief. End of Glenn Ford's text, somewhat condensed by myself and edited for radio broadcast. Shortly before Occupy Wall Street began, an Englishman made several points very similar to Glenn Ford's. Okay, a little less intellectually. That Englishman was Attila the stockbroker, and this piece of his is called It's All About the Bankers.
They say we've got to keep a hold of all our bankers, because they're so clever and so talented, you know. And if we don't give them their bonuses and millions, then they'll just pick up their briefcases and go. Well, they're so clever that they bankrupted the country, and they're so talented our taxes bailed them out. And the government is frightened by their puny little... But the rest of us just want to scream and shout. Go, just sod off now and go. But you could all leave your passports at the door, and the same as for your house, it's your money and your cost. We're not welcome in this country anymore. No, you're not welcome in this country anymore. Well, they gamble with our money on the markets, which is not the function of a bank at all. And they're paid 100 times more than someone who saves lives. Well, it's time we dealt with this once and for all. I said, let's tax them till their testicles are tiny, and make their bonuses some tickets for some planes. And then we'll show the world how we can get along just fine without their talented, enormous, super brains. Go, just sort of now and go. You can all leave your passports at the door, and the safest for your house is your money and your cars. You're not welcome in this country anymore. No, you're not welcome in this country anymore. But the government is friends with all the bankers, like Karl Marx predicted all those years ago. And although they caused a mess, they got stooges in the press who are desperate to keep the status quo. So the city boys get richer by the hour, while all we get are sackings and cutbacks. And they're brutalising Greece with their IMF police. Yes, it's time to grab those gold men by their sacks. Go, just sod off now and go. You can all leave your passports at the door, and the safest for your house is your money and your cars. We're not welcome in this country anymore. No, you're not welcome in this country anymore. We already own some banks, well, that's a good start. All we need to do is nationalise the rest. Make the banks work for the people, not the other way around. Put the speculators all under arrest. And as they queue to leave the country for the last time, if they dare to moan, or one will give it large. To them, they're lucky they're not sticks in mailbags, because they would be if Attila was in charge. Go, just sort off now and go. You can all leave your parcels at the door. And the same goes for your house, it's your money and your cars. You're not welcome in this country anymore. Go, just sort off now and go. You can all leave your parcels at the door. And the same goes for your house, it's your money and your cars. You're not welcome in this country anymore. No, you're not welcome in this country anymore.
At the end of his piece, Glenn Ford spoke of the occupation of Washington, D.C., another appropriate venue, as finance capital depends on the corrupt government to fatten its maw. For instance, by giving the financiers $17 trillion of the taxpayers' money so that no investor would lose a cent in the financial collapse that they caused. Chris Hedges was at the D.C. festivities on opening night, October 6. Here is part of the speech that he gave.
They have their metal barricades set up on every single street leading into the financial district in New York, where the Mandarins in Brooks Brothers suits use your money they stole from you, to gamble and speculate and gorge themselves, while 1 in 4 children outside those barricades depend on food stamps to eat. Speculation in the 17th century was a crime. Speculators were hanged. Today they run the state and financial markets. They disseminate the lies that pollute our airwaves. They know even better than you or I how pervasive the corruption and theft has become, how gained the system is against you. How corporations have cemented into place a thin oligarchic class and an obsequious cadre of politicians, including Barack Obama, judges, and journalists who live in their little gated Versailles, while 6 million Americans are thrown out of their homes, a number soon to rise to 10 million, where 1 million people a year go bankrupt because they cannot pay their medical bills, and 45,000 die from lack of proper care, where real joblessness is spiraling to over 20%, where the citizenry, including students, spend lives toiling in debt peonage, working dead-end jobs when they have a job, a world devoid of hope, a world of masters and serfs. The only word these corporations know is more. They are disemboweling every last social service program funded by taxpayers, from education to Social Security, because they want that money for themselves. Let the sick die. Let the poor go hungry. Let families be tossed in the street. Let the unemployed rot. Let children in the inner city or rural wastelands learn nothing and live in misery and fear. Let students finish school with no jobs and no prospects of jobs. Let the prison system, the largest in the industrialized world, expand to swallow up all potential dissenters. Let torture continue. Let teachers, police, firefighters, postal employees, and social workers join the ranks of the unemployed. Let our imperial wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and our proxy wars in Yemen, Pakistan, and Somalia bankrupt the state and leave hundreds of thousands of innocents maimed and dead. Let the roads, bridges, dams, levees, power grids, rail lines, subways, bus services, schools, and libraries crumble or close. Let the rising temperatures of the planet, the freak weather patterns, the hurricanes, the droughts, the flooding, the tornadoes, the melting polar ice caps, the poisoned water systems, the polluted air increase until the species dies. Who the hell cares if the stocks of ExxonMobil or the coal industry or Goldman Sachs are high? Life is good. Profit, profit, profit. This is what they chant behind those metal barricades in the financial district. They have their fangs deep into your necks, and if you do not shake them off very, very soon, they will kill you, and they will kill the ecosystem, dooming your children and your children's children. And they are too stupid and too blind to see that they will perish with the rest of us. So either you rise up and supplant them, either you dismantle the corporate state for a world of sanity, a world where we no longer kneel before the absurd idea that the demands of financial markets should govern human behavior, or watch as we are frog-marched towards self-annihilation. Those on the streets around Wall Street and here tonight are the physical embodiment of hope. You know that hope has a cost, that it is not easy or comfortable, that it requires self-sacrifice and discomfort, and finally faith. And those who hope sleep on cement every night, and their clothes are soiled, and they have eaten more bagels and peanut butter than they ever thought possible, and they have tasted fear, been beaten, gone to jail, been blinded by pepper spray, cried, hugged each other, laughed, sung, talked too long in general assemblies, seen their chance drift upwards to the office towers above them and wondered if it is worth it, if anyone cares, if they will win. But as long as we remain steadfast, we can see our way out of the corporate labyrinth. This is what it means to be alive. And you tonight, and those in New York, and Philadelphia, and Los Angeles, and Boston, and dozens of other cities across this country are the best among us.
Chris Hedges in D.C., October 6, winding up our notes on Occupy Wall Street. New World Notes is connected with WWUHFM, a community service of the University of Hartford. You'll find more information and an archive of past installments on our free website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. We'll get to my non-carborundum and, well, keep yourself occupied. Ciao!
Because corporations are not people, and we can't just let them choose. Because if we leave our fate to them, then all of us will surely lose. Because the climate clock is ticking, and we can't just leave our world behind. Because corporate rule isn't working, and it's time for humans' hearts and minds. Because you can't take it with you, because the rich just do not care, because it doesn't matter how much you make, but how much you can share. Because these moments don't come often, because we want truly to be free, because we know what really